welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K. as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
This is a very, very juicy, meaty, interesting topic, and it's really applicable to us on our day-to-day, moment-to-moment lives. So what does it feel like in our bodies when we're saying no? And it doesn't mean just no to the new job promotion or the new opportunity, but just simply, here's a story. I was teaching a longevity elixir tonic class at a health food store, and I was making tonic elixirs, showing people moving beyond smoothies and going into tonic elixirs using tonic herbalism from both the Chinese and the Ayurvedic traditions. And I had free samples, and I went out into the health food store and offered the free samples to people, and the majority of people said no to something free. I found it really an interesting observation of human nature. So too busy, that makes us not take something new in our own heads, on our gadgets, focused and thinking we only have so much time. All of that is distraction and lack mentality, and it's all mind energy. When we stay closed down, the bottom line is it's our mind, and it's not coming from that expansive energy of our spirits like you've heard me talk about so many times, like the heart and the spirit. It wants to grow up and out like our trees and like our butterflies flutter up. They don't, you know, flutter down and fall on the ground unless they're dead, you know? So the force of life, the force behind all life is to grow and expand, and the fundamental energy of the vital life force energy of all consciousness in our universe is that of reaching for more and reaching for more expansion, and that is our soul's energy. And so when we are in a mind space of any of the things I just mentioned and more, whatever it is that keeps you occupied mentally, then that's serving as a way to block out incoming opportunities. So when we last week talked about how to pull and work with the consciousness in the universe to create what it is that we desire more effectively, because we are doing it anyway, right? Our energy behind our most commonly held thoughts and moods is being sent out to the universe, and it's causing that imprint on the bigger field. And so the bigger field, without interpretation, is bringing back the mirror image. We're operating on the universal law of like attracting like, or the law of magnetics. And some of you know it from the law of attraction or even viewing the movie The Secret. It is the universal law. There's two different universal laws in effect there, the like attracting like and the law of magnetics. And so if we're walking around, hey, and we're just in our minds and we're, you know, busy and thinking, then that's the impression that we leave. If we say, and then on top of that, in the context of today's discussion in teaching, is that if we are walking around saying no, what that is a closed down energy to that bigger field, to the reaching out of the bigger field, extending towards us opportunities coming in. So when we walk around busy and in our minds and focused and concentrating on what it is that we have to do or whatever it is that keeps us locked in our minds, and we're saying, and ultimately causing us to say no to whether it's a free sample or it's a phone call coming in from a friend and you let it go to voicemail, or it's a person calling with an opportunity but you're so sick of thinking that you're going to get marketed to, so you just say no, or it's a new opportunity coming in that isn't a scam, but it looks like a scam, and so you're just so skeptical, and you're so cynical, and you're so overly marketed to that you just say no, because you don't want any more of it invading your space. Yeah, I know. We are heavily marketed to. I am right there, too. with a mind, though, that's more disciplined and worked with, we can, what that is it's a reaction. The saying no is a reaction, and it's a habituated reaction, and it's a habituated way of going through life, and it could even be down to the point of what I do with the Theta Healings with subconscious programming. It could be subconsciously programmed in our conditioning growing up to just say no to opportunities. Our mom and dad could have been so focused on pure survival stuff, you know, getting the food on the table and getting work accomplished just in the survival mode, not working at jobs that intrigued them or juiced them up, but just the basic fundamentals of living, food on the table, clothes in the back, kids to school, bills paid. And so in that, we didn't necessarily see a lot of expansion or a lot of opening or a lot of saying yes. Like, you know, for example, if one of your kids comes home from school and they have this exciting thing that happened and you're busy or you're on the phone or you need to go to the store and you can't really listen and receive their offering of bubbling enthusiasm, then that shuts down also something coming towards you. So we could have learned this behavior too, and it's also in our society. There's a very huge element of the collective unconscious right now, particularly I've noticed from having the contrast I do from living and removing myself out of our country for the 10 years I did and coming back here now for three, how cynical Americans are to being marketed to because of how capitalized and monetized our society is. And so there's this whole level of saying no that exists in the collective consciousness in America that people who are doing the kinds of work that I'm doing helps people open back up. So while it may have been initiated as a survival mechanism to react with a no, I just can't handle anymore because of overwhelm, for example, now is the time, because you've reached out for more by listening to this radio show, and congratulations to you on doing that and reaching out for more. Now is the time to look at, is it still serving you? And I don't mean to use that overused phrase, is it serving you? So is it leading to you having the feeling and tone in your life overall that you desire for yourself and your family? Would you like more? Would you like your life, when I say more, to open up? The majority of us, I was just having a conversation with one of my yoga meditation students the other day, and she was just talking about how busy she is, you know, attending to her kids' needs and her job and her husband and her family, and how in doing so she's had to pick and choose who she maintains contact with. And I've heard that over and over again, you know, we all the friends that we have made throughout the years, and who do we maintain contact with? And now with Facebook, you know, do we go on Facebook, and is that a time eater? Do we make use of Facebook to stay in touch with people we want to? And how we can choose to live an open, where our energy, so it's like we have a bunch of legs and arms, is reaching out to staying connected with what's beyond our four walls and our family, or we're just in that more self-contained, self-enclosed, day-to-day automation. And the majority of us really are in that. What I'm going to say is a shutdown way of living, and it leads to isolation within the family unit, and just getting by day to day. And is that what you really want for yourself? If the energy within your family is expanding, that's great. One of the most common... Okay, so we talked about this on the Bruce Lipton radio show. And by the way, those of you who have tried to access that show, it's now up. There was technical difficulty apparently with the database. And that technical difficulty has since been cleared. Now it's up and running. So on that Bruce Lipton show, what we talked about was one of the things, many great things we talked about, was the aspect of our cells and how our cells get conditioned by our beliefs, and how I had said it feels to me like our cells are like little kindergartners, like they're always reaching out, really happy, healthy cells in a healthy body and in a healthy organs or a healthy abdominal area. When my hands are on a client during an energy healing session, how it feels like a popping out of the seat, raising the hands, or curious kindergartner. And how so many people come to me
with some form of the sentence saying, I just don't feel like myself anymore, or I just don't feel alive anymore. I feel like a gray thickness. And that gray thickness is what's going on in our society. That, in my observation, since returning here, I mean, there's this cloud or heaviness, and it's lightening a bit. And it's not projection. I manage myself successfully enough because of the work that I do that I know the difference and just receive more than I do any kind of projection. It's just not, I just work with myself enough to know what I'm doing with my consciousness, and that's why I'm doing this show, to help others learn the same, and why I teach the workshops I teach and the yoga meditation class I teach, yeah? So it's beyond the idea that the gray cloud that I'm perceiving is coming from me. It's the contrast provided when I came back and as an energy healer, receiving and intuiting, using that clairsentient body of mine to sense and then work from there. That's the space I come from and I live in. And this sense of this no energy in our culture, this sense of fear that I've talked about many times that I'm not going to talk about now. I'm going to talk about the impact of being overwhelmed. And so when I had Bruce Lipton on and we were talking, this is also in my book, What If There's Nothing Wrong? 90% of doctor's visits are because of stress. So the impact of that, one of the impacts of that, that is one of the, and again, this is the theme of my work, is to draw our attention to the most or more subtle aspects of our lives that are usually so subtle that we overlook them, but they're actually the most, where all the power is. It's where the change can happen. Is in, for example, when we're stressed and we don't answer that phone and we let it go to voicemail, or we screen our calls, or we don't sign up for that newsletter to that new intriguing person that offers something new and juicy and more to us, or we don't say yes to that opportunity posed to us, it keeps us controlled with the amount of input for certain. So that also keeps our system in a more self-contained shutdown space, which the nature of depression, and I've said this another time, and I go through it in my book too, Dr. Christian Northrup, one of the first MDs to work within the mind-body connection paradigm, as well as the Western MD paradigm, it talks about depression in a way that deep pressing the vital life force energy. She puts it in that when we are ready to step forward to a new level in our lives, we get, our system knows that, and our system almost, let's use the word, downloads a new level of energy, a new level of vitality, a new level of resources that we would need available to create something new. Just like when we're pregnant and we have the extra minerals and the extra vitamins and the extra bodily cellular reactions happening in accordance with, we now need to feed this new life inside of us. It's the same thing. And so if we, with our mind and our conclusions, whether they're conscious conclusions or they become automated, like just stay shut down, just get through your day, it functions as a no, and we say no to this new level that our spirit is actually asking for, or our being or our soul, whatever word you want to use here, then that takes that vital life force energy that has been made itself available for this new level of expansion, and it deep presses it back down into our body, thereby depressing or suppressing the energy that is natural to all life and inherent to all life of expansion and of reaching out and of growth. And as a matter of fact, my last client, right before the radio show, we were doing a release of the habituation his body had taken on of keeping his own power suppressed, and exactly what I'm talking about. And I had already planned on doing this show, you know, before my client came in and presented me with this new level of where we're working today to help him in his ongoing unfolding. And it shows up like the body contracts. So it's like everything that we feel and think on a continual basis, not like a fleeting thought or a fleeting feeling, ends up being a metaphor in our body. And that's how eventually, if it's not a positive thing, illness strikes. So if you take your hand and you look at it and you clench the fist, and then you take your hand and you spread it open, yeah, look at that difference. So arthritis has what? More of a, close your fist again and look down at your hand. It has more of a claw-like hand, right? So in acknowledging the mind-body connection and in acknowledging the role of the mind and the role of our power to create what then becomes something physical, as opposed to just looking at the physical level of what arthritis is. Let's do it again. Let's close our hand. Let's contract. Here we are staying closed. And now let's open our hand and spread our fingers wide. Looking at it, now that's expansion. Yeah. Our flexible joints means you're open to life. So in, let me stay with the arthritis example. Rheumatoid arthritis, RA, is known to be an immune system issue. The immune system is one of our foundational systems for life support, obviously. When our energy levels at the foundational core level have been zapped and we're running around with adrenal burnout, which frequently in our country gets diagnosed as chronic fatigue or lupus, or also manifests as immune system disturbances, it's because our foundational energy is no longer flushing. That vital life force energy, or the chi or the prana that I talk about so much, is no longer being released up and out of the storehouse that it sits in, both in the front of the second chakra or the dantian in the qigong tradition, or at the adrenals that sit on top of the kidneys in the back, a little bit higher up from that dantian second chakra. It also could be considered, if we're deep pressing our energy, if we're contracting, then we're suppressing that life force energy there to be available for us to expand and to not contract. You get it? You see that? So our muscles go into tightness, what we report as tightness, when we're in contraction, when we're pulling back. So if you take your shoulders and you hunch them forward, and now you hunch them over your chest and you kind of contract your chest back, that's contraction. Fetal position is in a curled up little ball. That's contraction. Now open and roll your shoulders back and make some space in between your neck. Lift your head up tall and feel that space. So as a yoga teacher, frequently what I see is when people are really, really tight in their muscles and can't open into the forward bend, for example, or can't even get their hands past their shins in the forward bend, that tightness is a habituated tightness. It's not just from overuse of the body, let's say, in running, so the and not stretching enough, so the hamstrings are tight. It's not just a physical cause. The body has holding patterns. And these holding patterns eventually can become disease and illness over gradually, long, long over time. Because again, in acknowledging the mind-body connection, we are depositing our most frequently held emotions and thoughts in our body. So saying no to small opportunities on a daily basis that come to us that could be perceived instead of that come at us. And the majority of you guys listening, because you've reached out for this show, aren't living there. But some of you still are in varying degrees, right? We all are. We all have to juggle that daily balance of time management. And so is there enough time? Well, look at that belief even. That's coming from a lack perspective. I don't have enough time to get to everything I want to. Is it that? Because that's a more juiced up, excited way of framing it. Like, there's so much I want to get to, there's so much I want to take advantage of, all these opportunities, and I can only, you know, do so much in 24 hours versus I don't have enough time. No. Even that differentiation is going to be held differently in the body, and that tone is going to send different messaging or leave a different imprint on the bigger field. So it's going to change how much opportunity gets presented to us. And it's going to change how much opening there is from our own system that sends out a vibration that we, and if you are not understanding what I'm talking about right now, if you go back and listen to last week's show and then come back, you will, that sets out a vibration or a frequency or a tone to the bigger field. If we're saying no, we imprint that closed downness. And so the extension from the bigger consciousness or the field in that like attracting like, or law of magnetics or law of attraction, won't bring back to us the opportunities because it's, we're given the impression of no, stay closed down. And so we will continue to have more of the same. And for those of you new to this kind of work, it is like that. It's like you can't get out of your own way. It's that feeling of when you're up against this habit pattern, like, and it just keeps getting worse. And it's like you're a dog chasing your tail. You can't get out of the thought you're having, and it stays the same because you are in the mind. So the best way, again, to shift out of a situation that you don't want to be in is to choose a different thought. A lot, because we are choosing our thoughts. If you were to slow down enough, you would realize that you are choosing what you're choosing to pay attention to in your head. You do have that choice, and we talked about that 2 radio shows ago, and you can go back and listen to that one if you want. So assuming that you've taken in those shows and not repeating myself, so if you do slow down enough and you look at what you're choosing to think and you're saying no, the best way to shift out of a situation is to say yes to the next thing that comes along. Just practice saying yes. I don't mean to say yes to something that's completely illogical. Obviously, that's not what I'm suggesting. But what I am suggesting is when I don't want to use the word reasonable. When you have the next opportunity to say yes, if your child is asking, can they show you something? And instead of, no, honey, not right now, I'm busy, you say yes. That opening creates flow in your body. The life force juice can now start to open up, almost like you're a sunflower. So you can stretch your arms and you can stretch your legs, and here comes opening. Here comes expansion. And here comes, instead of drooped shoulders, tight neck, tight shoulders, or sunken in concave lower back with a gut, you're now stretched out and you have a sense of strength in your spine. And you're reaching out, and that heart is able to send out a frequency instead of it being covered up and hunched over. And that frequency is more of a yes, openness, vibration that gets sent out and puts its imprint on the bigger field, and then the bigger field brings back more openings. So if you're feeling stuck and you're feeling like you don't have enough opportunity coming to you, or you want a new opportunity, or you're feeling blocked, this is the way to do it. Just start saying yes. Because it creates an opening that creates a ripple effect. So yes, again, it is a ripple effect. And really what we're looking at is either staying closed down into the mind or staying at an ever-increasing levels of opening up to saying yes. So there's a funny little thing about this. When we are opening and really starting to do what I referred to Christian Northrup talking about, when our soul is presented with a new level of desire welling up from inside of us for expansion, we've got down the level that we've gotten down. You know, let's say we've been at a certain job for a certain amount of time, and there's a certain regularity with our kids going back to school, and our husband or our wife is at a certain, there's a compatibility, acknowledge regularity, well-being about the relationship. You're at status quo. I myself have never, ever allowed myself to stay comfortable for too long. I get so tremendously bored so easily. And, you know, it would definitely be easier if I just laid around a bit more. But it wouldn't be as much fun for me or as comfortable. And I do lay around. You know, I do the dance between rest and passivity and meditation and laying on the beach and going to nature and just receiving, and then going out there and actively expressing where I'm taking action. So I do a good balance there, right? But I definitely know that one of the things that feels like it would help you guys to know is that I've never let myself get in that comfortable position of status quo where I'm buying stuff and I'm accumulating stuff. I get actually claustrophobic when I start to own too much stuff. Like I'm choking at the neck, and I'm constantly is an overstatement. There have been periods, though, in my life when I've been up against massive transformation, up against, makes it sound forced, when I have been going through massive transformation and I can't purge my closets quick enough, donating stuff weekly, every Friday, bringing down one pair of pants or bringing down one pair of shoes or bringing down that shirt. And sometimes it's shirts that are associated with a certain event that was a certain identity at a certain time in my life that I'm releasing, and I just want to give the shirt away. So it's like a constant shedding where I don't sit back and accumulate. And so I'm able to stay lighter that way. And so I'm a bit different geared. I mean, I am geared towards what I'm talking about, which is why I'm the one with the radio show, right? And the one doing the business that I'm doing. So I provide the contrast to people who are seeking, how do I come out of my status quo? I've been comfortable for so long. I feel blocked, or I feel gray and thick. And depressed, or a cloud over my head, or I have cancer, or I have diabetes, and how do I come out of this? You know, and so what I'm talking about right now is to present to you a contrast in a way of living in that rhythm of life, in that rhythm of saying yes, and in that rhythm of aliveness. And for me, my being feels the threat of what the status quo does to my system. And so I always want to feel that juice. I always want to feel that aliveness. So I'm always reaching for more. And again, I don't want to overstate that. It's not like I don't let myself just be. I absolutely do. So there's a dance and a balance between, you know, you cultivate. And this is bringing up for me right now, again, and I've said this a couple of other shows. When I was living in Asia, this was said to me by not only the Chinese, but also someone in Thailand and then in India, too, that Americans love to burn out their central nervous system. And I don't think it's just from stimulus. I didn't really get it when I first heard it, because I was living amongst the Chinese at the time, and that's, you know, there's all this neon signage everywhere. There's all this traffic. There's all this chaos when out in group and out in traffic with the Chinese. I mean, it's just mayhem. So I'm thinking, okay, it can't be about that, because God knows they have enough external stimulus. And as time's gone on, and I've deepened my yoga practice, and I've deepened my yoga teaching, and just working with the energy healings and vital life force energy, and deepened my Qigong practice and my Qigong teaching, and looking at the flow of vital life force energy, you know, when we're running around and we're doing errands, we are taking out energy. We're using our storehouse of vital life force energy. So I don't think, because we're such an active society, that we're aware of what we're doing. It's a debit account, you know, it's a savings account, withdrawals and deposits. And so we have energy available to us for transformation. It's a beautiful mechanism built into our system. I mean, it's just such a speaking to the grace of whatever the creator was, the divine source or designer of the human experience and the human body. And you guys know that feeling. You know, when this opportunity has come up and it feels like it's a spring, a wellspring coming up in you, a bubbling forth of something, and it's like a lot of the times felt in the chest, and there's a sense of excitement and movement. That's the energy, that life force energy bubbling up. And sometimes it gets, as they say in Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas has a great story about this, the founder of Access Consciousness. When he was getting ready to ride some ride at a carnival, and he was all excited for the first time he was going to go on this ride as a little kid, and his mom said, "Oh, honey, don't be so afraid." He learned to label his excitement as fear. And it is interesting, because physiologically they're both the same function and circuitry that happens when we're excited and when we're afraid. So it could even be that feeling too, where there's like this, the bottom line is there's a pulsing of energy running throughout your system. And it could be a bubbling forth feeling. It could be a pulsing feeling. It could be an excitement feeling. And you could mislabel it as fear too. Before the mind gets involved though, just the feeling in your body of it is what I've just described. And so there's excitement, there's newness, there's a renewal of aliveness and newness and rebirth and vitality. And then in comes the mind. And this is just so typical. Whether you're on an extended path of power, like Lynn Andrews said in my interview with her months back, the author of the Medicine Woman series, we make a bid for power to the universe. This is more from the Aboriginal and Native American perspective. We make a bid for power to the universe, and the universe responds. And it's like an Access Consciousness when we use the commands. What would it take for me to have a life filled with joy, ease, and glory? And anything and everything that doesn't allow for that, I destroy and uncreate. Yeah? Time's a godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, pop, pod, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond. So that's the Access Consciousness clearing statement. You can go to drdanehere.com. Look under his free stuff. It explains the clearing statement for those of you new to Access Consciousness. But what I just did was another version of a command. I was working with a client yesterday, and she was like, "Oh, my God, when is this going to stop? When am I just going to be there?" And I'm like, you made a command to the universe that anything and everything that doesn't allow for you to experience more joy, more ease, more health, more abundance in your life, you are demanding gets destroyed and uncreated. And so that's what's happening. That's why you're experiencing pain in your back, because you're going through the ability, whatever suppressed your ability to have that. So it's like we make a bid for power to have more, to be more, if we're already on our path, whatever you want to call it, if you want to call it the spiritual path, the yogic path, the path of power, whatever. I mean, nowadays in our everyday lives, I mean, it's just not necessarily that. I mean, we're living in society. We're not going off on vision quests or off in the caves anymore. So I don't know what words we want to use, whatever you want to use, but you know if you're on your path or not actively. I mean, we're all on our path, but in the old language, lingo and languaging of it. So it's a bid. And then the universe, from a strength of a command, it's a command is more, garners more force, garners more life force energy than a choice. So it like trumps choice. That's the only thing that trumps choice is an absolute demand or command. This is changing now. But what if we didn't need the crisis or the problem or the issue to force us to make a command? What if we were just going through life and listening to the wellspring that bubbles up inside of us? Oh, I'm excited. Something new. And we knew what that something new was. We knew what that excitement was about because it came up in response to something in our lives that was offered to us as a new movement towards that thing. So we respond. So we don't need a crisis. Instead, here's an opportunity presented to us, and up comes that wellspring of energy, that vital life force energy. And instead of the following through with the allowing of that energy to build and moving towards that opportunity and saying yes, and then finding out what the next requirement is. Okay, so does that mean that we then have to mail off something? Does that then mean that we have to start joining a gym? Does that then mean that we need to get on an online dating site? What is it? What's the next step? And we say yes to that. And then the next step presents itself step by step by step as we unravel this new this new thing we're reaching for in our lives, whether it's literally a thing or it's a new level. And then what is typical on this path of power is in comes the mind, our good old mind. And if we don't have a practice of devaluing our thoughts, the random thoughts that flutter across our consciousness, that race across our mind, or even the awareness of our typical habitual reactions, then we're not going to be aware and we're going to just shut down if we're feeling any of the things and living the lifestyle mentioned in the beginning of this radio show. So we're going to shove that energy down, and it's going to have some kind of backlog effect on our system where we might end up with less energy. We might end up walking around feeling lethargic, feeling like we're just not fully on. And that's what the majority of people are walking around feeling. You know that. So people are talking about juice. People are talking about living juicy. People are talking about engaged, authentic, being your authentic self, living a life of meaning, all of this language that's, you know, out being used out there now by coaches. It's like, this is what they're talking about. So there is a biochemical, physiological response that happens to keeping ourselves under the mind's labeling safe. The mind prefers status quo. I've done quite a few shows discussing the nature of the mind. And it can be easily observed with any meditation practice. The mind can review the past. It can project into the future with excitement or anticipation or fear or regret, any of those things. But can it be in the present moment? Mm-mm. What do we need to be in the present moment? Presence. How do we get presence? By quieting the mind. And coming back to the body, back to the breath, back to the spirit. Yeah. So expansion actually comes forth from our being. Expansion does not happen from the mind. So if you are looking to your mind when you are presented with a new opportunity to confirm it, I wouldn't expect that to happen. I would expect instead the typical predictable reactivity of doubts, questioning the logic, questioning the functionality, questioning how much you're going to have to change, questioning the levels of discomfort you're going to go through, creating scenarios of new levels of discomfort that conflict with your current status quo. You've been able to get, your mind's been able to get you to maintain. All of what I'm just talking about, most of it is resistance to change because the mind prefers status quo. So the mind's job, downloaded into our mind, body, spirit system for this human experience as a soul in a body. I mean, what are we? Are we a body with the soul? Do we have a soul? Or are we a soul with a body and we have a body right now? Right. So in acknowledging that our mind isn't the only thing and our thoughts isn't the only thing that composes who we are, then having an awareness of the expansion that occurs when we're listening to our spirit, you could also call it listening to the heart. The Chinese interchange that term, I say again and again and again, and I find that fascinating. Shen, Chinese for spirit and for heart. When we allow for the mind to take a back seat, then we're honoring this other part of our system, the spirit, and in fact our body too, because it wants the growth too. When we're expecting the mind to support expansion, it's not going to do that, as I've just said, because its job is to kind of structure, organize, and make linear and concrete sequential, you're getting it through my energy, all of the input from the sensory data coming in at us from the environment. So we have, and I go into this in my book too, we have those thresholds on how much we can perceive with our senses. Because if we perceived all of the information, we go nuts. We couldn't handle it. So while, because we are multidimensional beings, it's more than this one physical dimension, as is increasingly becoming more and more accepted. So the mind is given to us to structure the physical dimension, the 3D dimension. And so it gets things organized and it gets things structured for us. And in that, it's doing its job. So when we pose it to the mind, the idea of expanding and following a non-mental energy, following a spirit energy or a soul energy of expansion, where we're just following a lightness of energy, of life force, vitality, that's not mind energy. And so the mind, what does it do? Tries to maintain the status quo and keep things understandable and concrete, sequential, and linear. Yeah. So your mind isn't going to give you support when it comes to being posed with a new opportunity that it, in fact, may seem wildly irrational or wildly illogical or going against, I don't want to say common sense, but nowadays what I say frequently and what I hear others saying is follow the choices that may actually go against what the mind is saying. I've said that for years. You've heard me say that when wanting to learn how to condition the mind, just choose the opposite of what the mind wants you to do, especially trying to dehabituate. If your mind wants to lay on the couch instead of going for a walk, then go for an even longer walk than you had been going for. If you're always working your body and your mind wants you to exercise again and laying on the couch is actually the opposite of what you normally do, then lay on the couch. We want that mind to be agile. We want that mind to be serviceable to our entire mind, body, spirit system. We don't want the mind to dominate because we pay for it. And in our society right now, in a modernized, globalized society, it's entirely easy to let the mind dominate. And what happens, though, is we go into contraction. So it's funny, when I am coming out of meditation, and even in my yoga meditation class when I'm teaching meditation, how the room can seem, and I said this to my students a couple of weeks ago, and I said this on the meditation program, the room expands because we've come out of just the cognitive linear mind, and we've cleared us in that moment in time of the dominance of our thought mind, our thinking mind, our everyday mind, and we've gone into a more expanded consciousness. And so when we come out of the meditation, we also have that expanded consciousness. And we have typically, if the meditation has been sustained long enough, not if you got quiet enough, that's not what I said, because the thoughts will always come. I said if it goes on long enough, then you can touch into the higher self or the spirit or the soul energy. And when we do that, the mind gets put in its place, if you will. So I challenge you to start saying yes in areas where, anywhere where you can afford to, and even where you can't afford to. Really, if you want to get unstuck, or you want to have more, or you want to open up your life and like kind of get air in, like open up the house. Here we are in Florida, and we've had our windows closed for a month because the AC's been pumping because we're in the heat of the we're in the peak of the heat. Let some air through. Start saying yes. It'll air things out. You'll get the vital life force energies flushing out through your system more. You'll have more vitality. It's amazing to me. My God, like how much, when I start working with a client and by like the third week, they're starting to have more energy because there's less lockdown from the mind keeping us in our day-to-day, got to get by, survival kind of, got to just do what's right in front of me mode. They have always, it's like the most consistent observation when I'm looking for symptoms of how the process is progressing. The very first sign of, okay, I'm getting there, we're getting there, that some real stuff has been cleared out is I have had more energy this week. So if you want more energy even, this is a way to have more energy. If you want to be more flexible in yoga class, don't go to yoga class expecting yourself to get more flexible only that way. The yogic path is about working with the mind. Five out of the eight limbs of yoga are about the mind in meditation. So work with saying yes more. Work with opening up more. Yeah. It's a coping mechanism, you know? It feels like it's a learned response to say no more frequently than saying yes. And watch what you do say yes to. If you say yes to something and it creates heaviness, obligation, duty, your heart feels weight on it. It feels weighed down, like you're helping somebody move who it just wasn't the right timing for you. And if you honored your feeling of, oh, that makes me feel heavy, and you said, no, I'm sorry, I can't help this time, watch the heart, the chest area lighten up. Watch the shoulders go back. Watch the neck have ease around it instead of tightness. You spoke your truth, so that helps with the throat chakra. And the following of the heart or the spirit energy of what you really desire allows for there to be a fluttering in the heart area. And in down in where the vital life force energy is released from, it wells up. You're honoring what you desire, which is the second chakra. And that's, again, the area that I already talked about where the foundational energies are located, as well as the root chakra. So it's a real reconditioning of that heavy idea of self-sacrifice and that heavy defining and labeling of what we've been taught selfish is when in fact it isn't. When you're saying yes, yeah, we are just talking about self-awareness and we are just talking about self-observation. So anything and everything that doesn't allow you to say yes more, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Look at that word. Yes. Times of God, zillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, pop, pot, all nines, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And I'm going to bring in another different kind of clearing from Access Consciousness. I'm a Baris facilitator with Access. If you want more information, just go to accessconsciousness.com. This is not calling you stupid, but it's calling the thinking stupid, the line of thinking. What stupidity are you using for the playing small you are choosing? Anything and everything that is, and it brings up, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? This is where you'd want to say yes out loud. Times of God, zillion, right, wrong, good, bad, pock, pot, all nines, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And where are you staying shut down? What would it take for you to perceive, know, be, and receive and have clarity around that so you can open that area up and let some air in your system? in your life, in your body. Anything and everything that doesn't allow for that opening, are you willing to destroy and uncreate? Yes. Time's a god, so you right, wrong, good, bad, pock, pot, all nine, shorts, boys and beyonds. Yeah. That deep breath was nice, wasn't it? With some expansion in the chest. Which means there's opening. It really is that subtle. So when you can breathe more deeply, you've just opened more. There's less contraction. And when our bodies are habituated to contraction, again, we have less energy, but we also have a more depressed tendency. The hormones that get released aren't the joy juice for living hormones. Instead, they're more the lower hormones and perhaps even the cortisol. Because if we're going day by day, you know, just taking care of the tasks at hand in a survival mode, then that may very well be releasing the cortisol, which is the hormone cycle that keeps us in fight or flight, that keeps us with the stress hormones and the cortisol being deposited into the belly and belly fat developing so we can have the energy and the fat storage for the fight or the flight. Even a deep breath goes so far down into the lungs that when we take a deep breath and we're at the base of the lungs, the deeper part of the lungs, that actually helps to release the biochemistry of the happier hormones. The amazing power of deep breathing is so underrated in our culture. And you can immediately shift your biochemistry there too, so that you can feel more able to be out of the mind and choose from your being. So I know that one of the pranayamas from yoga, pranayamas are the breathing techniques, and pranayamas, one of the eight limbs in yoga. One of the simplest pranayamas is alternate nostril breathing, and it's one of the quickest shifters of our biochemistry or our physiology. So if we're having anxiety or we're having panic, and let's say we're presented with a new opportunity and our mind starts to, we've moved through the initial wellspring of excited energy and bubbling forth of energy, and now our mind comes in with its doubts. If we want to have more freedom from our mind, if the doubts are just that typical mechanism that comes in when we're saying yes to more and the mind staying clamped down on status quo, then one of the tools is if you take your pinky and you take your thumb and take the thumb on the right nostril using your right hand, or if you're left-handed, you'd be taking the thumb on the left nostril. So let's assume that you're right-handed because the majority are. You can also take your peace fingers and you could put them on your third eye in between the eyebrows. So you have your thumb plugging your right nostril and you're inhaling to the left. Inhale. Now plug your left nostril with your pinky. Lift off your thumb off the right nostril. Exhale, right nostril. Inhale, right nostril. Plug right nostril with thumb. Lift pinky off left nostril. Exhale, left nostril. That's one round. We're going to do 10 rounds. That's the prescription. 10 rounds in the morning, 10 rounds at night, and a couple of rounds whenever you start to feel hyper and you want to gain some ground on your mind, back your mind off. With anxiety or worry or fear or doubt, you want to just quiet it. This is a brilliant technique for that. Inhaling left nostril. Plug left nostril. Lift thumb off right nostril. Exhale right nostril. Inhale right nostril. Plug right nostril. Lift pinky off left. Exhale left. That's two. Inhale left. Exhale right. Inhale right. Exhale left.
I want you to experientially stay with me and go through the shift your body goes through. Inhaling left. Exhale right. Inhaling right. Exhale left. Yep. You're already shifting. Inhale left. Exhale right. Inhale right. Exhale left. 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 Inhale right. Pardon. Inhale left. Exhale right. Inhale right. Exhale left. One more time. Inhale left. Exhale right. Inhale right. Exhale left. You can take a deep breath with your hands off your nostrils now. Let's do one more deep breath, inhaling. Exhale. Inhaling. It's a magic to three, and exhale. Okay, so how you doing? Don't you feel shifted? Yeah, more presence. Mind quieter. More oxygen to the brain. More clarity. This is a state that you can be in. You can exist in this state because you can just do what we just did to bring yourself back. If your mind really starts going, or you just want to shift, it's one of the simplest tools. And what I've been spending the last 20 years learning increasingly is the tools that the most subtle shifts that are really even tangible are the most profound ones, because it happens in energy first, and then the physical fills in what we've created in energy. The physical is the last to manifest. Thankfully, you know, so we create everything with our thoughts. We can steer something back on course if we're seeing, you know, it takes a while for the physical manifestation. And also, the heavier we are, the more time it takes to see show up what it is that we're desiring. So, I mean, if you go into something that you're saying yes to and you're skeptical, and you don't work with your mind, skepticism, it's almost like you're setting yourself up for failure, because we walk around with these beliefs then that are expectations, and it's almost like they're looking for evidence. Evidentiary contrivances is what it's called in access consciousness, where we have these beliefs and we go out into the world and it's like we're looking for confirmation. And you'll find it. So if you don't believe that your thoughts create reality, or that there's a law of attraction, or if you saw The Secret and you're like, that's just ridiculous. And granted, it was oversimplified and it was focused on materialism, in my opinion. But there was still a basic law that was presented there that really caused an opening for a lot of people. And if you go out there and you expect something to not go well, then that is what you create. And so if you don't believe in the law of attraction, but you give it a little bit of a shot, like, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that manifesting thing. Or you go and try saying yes to something and you see how it feels in your mind saying, this is stupid. You're going to stay more in the mind's belief if you don't have the discipline to follow through and continuing to say yes, because you are looking to basically validate and confirm and find evidence for that contrivance, evidentiary contrivances. So really, again, it comes down to an awareness of our minds and an observing of our thoughts and a connection with something beyond our mind within ourselves that we can always go back to and sit in. And so do whatever it takes to get back to that place. If it's going in nature, if it's talking to that friend, if it's doing the pranayama I just gave you an example of, if it's listening to the show, if you're in my Theta Healing, if it's going to get a Theta Healing clearing. I mean, it is constant clearing. I have stuff going on all the time in the background to help support me, you know. I mean, I have also, I do a lot of clearing throughout the day. I'll get up and move. I'll do a little bit of Qigong. I'll do a couple of yoga poses. I'll go run. I'll stand outside with my bare feet on the ground and kind of shake my head and do some different kinds of body movements and clear my field of anything I may have picked up. I mean, it's an ongoing learning of how important keeping our field clear is so that we can be clear, so that we can understand that maybe even what's running our mind to be more doubtful and fearful is actually not even ours, but it's coming at us from our society, or it's coming at us from our community or our husband or our wife. So again, we're just talking about self-management that helps us get into self-mastery. So we're making choices that honor what we really desire, and we're not holding ourselves back, and we're living an alive, juiced up life. We're creating our best lives ever. How does it get any better than that? What else is possible? By God. Yeah. Have a great weekend. Blessings, y'all. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.alisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.